I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
While the Cowboys had to come from behind for the second week in a row, Dallas trailed by as many as 15 in the second half against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. But Dak put on a show through the air, passing for 472 yards and three touchdowns, and regained the lead with 4 minutes to go. Seattle answered with their own touchdown, giving Dak just under 2 minutes to work with. The Cowboys got just outside the red zone, but Dak ended up throwing a second interception of the game, ending Dallas's hopes. Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick joining us this morning. Michael, it is great to have you. Now, I want to start with you here. Did the Seahawks win this game or did the Cowboys lose it?
It's a little bit of both. I think the Seahawks did what was necessary to win the game and the Cowboys did what they did to lose the game. Now, first of all, both of these teams are playing in the same circumstances. Banged up secondaries, banged up offensive line. The biggest difference was Russell threw five touchdowns and I think made no picks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dak threw three touchdowns, two picks, and had a fumble. And there's your game. Shannon, you know, you cannot turn the ball over in critical moments and give up that type of field position. It usually results in points that you have to make up, and it's hard to score in the NFL. And you know, there were bright spots for Dallas. Yes, Dak threw for 450 yards. You know, I thought the receiving corps showed up. I'm still looking for Zeke to step up in bigger moments. You know, I think it's been tough with them trying to get him going. But certainly the Seattle Seahawks took advantage of a banged-up Dallas secondary. And Dallas took advantage of a banged-up Seahawks secondary. But in the end, it came down to the turnovers. You know, as cliche as it is, you know, this was the difference maker in this game. And, you know, one of these teams need to go sign Earl Thomas. I will say that.
Did you catch that last line?
I heard what he said.
Yeah.
But he won't mention. But he won't mention that he picked the Cowboys, and I tried to talk him out of it on Friday. I said, Mike, don't do that.
You did.
I said, don't pick against Russ.
I was trying to keep that quiet.
Well, he thought Jerry was going to go get Earl Thomas.
Now, he was going to go get Earl Thomas on Saturday or Sunday.
Who knows?
I think the Seahawks won this ball game because, as you mentioned, you look at it. Russ threw five touchdowns. He had another one. DK Metcalf had another touchdown. It was supposed to be six touchdowns, and the game wasn't supposed to be this close. You think about it. Yes, Dak threw two interceptions, but the Seattle defender's on the ground, Russ. Dak hits it between the numbers. It pops up. Gallup catches it, and it's starting to run down the field. So, theoretically, he should have had three picks and a fumble. Mm. I think the thing is why they can't really use Zeke as effective as they need to is that they keep falling behind, Skip. You can't keep falling behind by 15, 16 points, falling behind by like they did against the Rams, and still be able to run the football. Those targets that Zeke had in the passing game, they should have been rush attempts. He should get 12 more rush attempts as opposed to 12 targets in the passing game.
Do you realize how many balls, like, hit him in the face and he
He's still not
at least three.
He could catch the ball, but he's not like Kamara.
No.
He's not like Christian McCaffrey, just a naturally talented, gifted catcher. He's worked on it and gotten better, but he's not fluid at catching the ball like those guys. And so when you look at it, the Cowboys' defense still isn't very good. They don't consistently generate the pressure. I thought Russell Wilson, I thought his offensive line did a better job. And when Russ is a guy, Skip, if it's not there, he got hit one time, Skip. How he was able to hold on to the ball when the defensive guy hit him from the blind side, and even though it was holding on the defense, he still held on to the ball, that just goes to show you that he is conscious. And when Dak got hit, the ball popped out. The Cowboys didn't lose this game. The Seahawks won this ball game with exemplary play by Russ and a timely big-time Skip, they only rushed three guys. On that last series, they rushed three guys. They had Shakeem Grant. I think his name is that his name?
Griffin.
Griffin, yeah.
They had him scanning. Yep. So he's checking, okay, running back. I'm just going to follow Dak, see where he goes. And they got two sacks and a hit on Dak, rushing three against five on the Dallas offensive line. Seahawks won. Dallas didn't lose it. They lost, but they didn't lose it.
My Cowboys lost this game. All you need to know, the final score was 3-0 in reverse because my quarterback made three big blunders and gave them three footballs, and the first two resulted in short field touchdowns. And up there, if you give Russell Wilson two short fields and two gimme, seven and 14 points, you're not going to be able to overcome it. And
had they had a 12th man, they'd have hung 55 on you.
They might have. I will buy that. But that's one reason I picked Dallas to win this game. The reason I have some hope and heart for my team is my team made Russell Wilson punt seven times yesterday. How often does that happen up there? It's just hard to stop them. They punted seven times, and yet my secondary had three huge breakdowns that would not have happened, I believe, if Earl Thomas had been a Cowboy yesterday back in his old stomping grounds. I'm talking about the first ball to Lockett when he's just home free. It's like, did anybody see the most dangerous deep threat maybe in football? Did anybody check him? No, they just let him go right through the zone, and he went untouched for 43
Skip,
yards.
You can't do that. That's what caused that blow up in Baltimore.
Okay.
Because Earl was blowing assignments left and right, doing his own thing.
Maybe he wouldn't have blown that one. And to your point on the DK Metcalf, it's 62 yards. He just smokes Trevon Diggs.
Yes.
And Diggs did not quit on the play.
Right.
And Metcalf learned a lesson I think he will learn for the rest of his career, because I don't think he'll ever do that again. And then Metcalf got free going all the way through the backside of the zone for 29 yards for the game winner. I just believe if you had Earl Thomas spoiling to get even with his old team, his original franchise back home in Seattle, that he would have made two or three big plays that would have turned that game, the tide in favor of Dallas. And as Dak said after the game, we just couldn't get out of our own way. Well, all they did was put up 522 yards, which is extraordinary. All they did was go 7 of 15 on third down and 2 of 2 on fourth down. Those are the kind of numbers that win football games, but you can't give it to them.
Right.
You can't give Russell gifts. How did they beat Atlanta? Dallas didn't turn it over. Neither did Atlanta. But the point was, Dallas didn't make mistakes like that in that game. And once again, they had the blunder on the goal line. Tony Pollard muffed the kickoff, and then they get a safety. Zeke just seemed out of it all day to me.
I'm going to make sure I'm hearing Skip Bayless right. Skip Bayless is telling me that you need Earl Thomas on a team that has Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, Zeke Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Wilson as the offensive firepower. So, and you telling me you don't have, hold on. The guy that criticized LeBron James saying he needs more help wants Dak Prescott to get more help?
Wait, are we putting Dak and LeBron in the same sentence? Thank you.
How much weapon?
Well, that's some respect.
Hold on. What about D-Law? Mm. Is D-Law any good?
He's got a bad knee. They said he didn't practice all week. I don't know.
Well, tell him to put $100,000 in his shoe and walk properly.
Okay.
I mean, he got all that money. Okay, what about your linebacker, Smith? Jalen Smith. How you doing, Skip?
He's been a big disappointment.
I'm just trying to figure out. Y'all got all these guys, Josiah Evans and Griffin.
And Leighton Vander Esch is just watching again because he's always hurt.
Yeah, what up, Vic?
But just like you got offense, you need some defense, baby.
You need defense.
You
need a made man in the back end.
Offense.
But you know,
they got Aldon Smith. He's stepping up.
He is.
They just need a little bit more.
But you know, a lot of times, Mike, sometimes people spend their money on the defensive side of football, and sometimes they spend their money on the offensive side of the football. Now, I think the Cowboys have got their money spread out pretty good. They got D-Law. They got Jalen Smith. Vander Esch was a first-round draft pick. You know, they signed Everson Griffin. Although Aldon Smith has been out of the league for 5 years, Tristan Hill is playing well. Woods is playing well. They got some guys that are playing well, Skip, but you can't turn it over.
You did not name Xavier Woods. You did not name Darian Thompson. They're both nice kids.
Yeah, they guys. Yep.
But they're just guys. and they're going to get run by.
Yeah.
And they're going to blow some coverages. And you're not good enough on the back end to be a factor, to be a contender.
And they say, okay, we're going to blow some coverages. We're going to get run by. So can Dak not turn it over? When y'all going to hold Dak accountable?
Well, I have.
Okay, hold on. Don't Dak, how many picks Dak got?
Well, you're the man who says, pay the man, right?
Oh,
that's
gonna,
all I hear. Pay the man.
And he going to get paid.
Yeah.
Is that 41 million now?
Yesterday might be as tough as it's going to get for the Dallas Cowboys. They got... You know, they got the NFC East that they can be excited about in terms of competing.
Mm-hmm.
And next week, they got to take care of the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, so, O'Shea and Bate. I got O'Shea and Bate.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett going to have about four sacks.
I expect him to do some good things, man. I expect him to do some really good things.
Let's go, Myles Garrett.
So
I was excited about yesterday.
So, Michael Vick, I got to ask you one other question. Can you explain the mentality of my quarterback, Dak Prescott, because he led the NFL last year in second half passing yards, and it wasn't even close. And here we go again yesterday. He had a good first half, 181 yards passing. But in the second half, after he turned it over on the first play and they fell behind 30-15, here he comes and he throws for 291 in the second half. What is going on in the psyche? Why can't he start the engine a little sooner? It's almost like he has to be in hopeless mode before he gets great.
Yeah, I know that's not a good sign,
no.
Skip, and being honest, you can't fall behind and then the light goes off. Now you got to start making plays, and, you know, the plays that you may have been afraid to run in the first half, now you're just throwing everything, you know, out there in the second half. It happens. It's real. I know that feeling because I've been there before, not in a, you know, extreme place, but to a point where, you know, I had some games where it didn't go well in the first half, and in the second half, we just let the offense go. And it seems like that's what's happening. It's a wake-up call, you know, at some point throughout the course of the game for Dak. And he needs to start a lot faster. And that's one thing we always talked about, getting off to a fast start, not falling behind to a huge deficit, because everything else after that is pretty much garbage time. You know, all the yards,
empty calories.
You got to abandon the run game.
Yeah.
You got to abandon the run game, and then it just takes away from the game plan. So that's in part his fault, you know, for turning the ball over, putting the team in a compromising position.
Expectations. You see, you take a situation like Jimmy Butler. You look at Jimmy Butler's situation, homeless, making it to the NBA. Grant Hill made it to the NBA, but his situation is a lot different. The expectations were different. So Grant Hill making it with two parents, dad playing in the NFL, going to Duke, versus Jimmy Butler being homeless, being on the streets, parents in and out of his life. That's a different situation. Dak Prescott falling behind by 15, there are no expectations. If he comes back, woo, then you see what Dak did. If he doesn't, well, no, Skip. The expectations at the beginning of the game. Look at him for the first three games when it's nip and tuck. Then look at him when the game gets out of hand and how he plays.
Mm.
Expectations, Skip. Mm. My guy can handle that. My homeboy, LeBron James.
Wait a second. You want Dak Prescott to be paid $40-plus million?
He going
to
get it.
Oh.
He going to get it, too. He going to get it.
I don't know about that shit. I mean, obviously it's a long season and it's a long way to go, but I mean, some things are going to have to change. Like,
ain't nothing gonna change because you
different
know
pace of play.
Yeah.
Mike, let me tell you why he's going to get 40 plus million. Because Deshaun Watson just set the bar at 39 million. He ain't getting less than that.
Mm.
You know how this thing worked. That's what got Dallas in trouble, because they were trying to penny pinch him. It got him in trouble. And Stephen Jones said Dak bet on himself, and it was a wise bet. He knows he's going to have to break bread with Dak to the tune of 40-plus million. It's just a matter of, well, it can't happen this year, but this next offseason, it going to happen, Skip. And I love it.
And with all that money, it's going to come a lot of expectation.
Even more.
The same things. Over and over and over again, and we're not going to let up. We're not going to forget this. We're not going to forget this moment.
All eyes remain on Dak.
No mercy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Cam Newton and the Patriots continue to look good running the ball through 3 weeks. New England put up 250 yards on the ground in a win against the Raiders yesterday. Cam finished with 162 yards through the air with a touchdown and an interception to go along with 27 rushing yards. Michael Vick is still with us. Mike, in your opinion, how impressive has Cam Newton been?
Cam has been very impressive, and I think yesterday put another stamp on his short-lived career in New England so far. While the numbers don't wow you, just 160 and 20-some yards rushing, it was somewhat pedestrian, but at the end of the day, he didn't do anything to lose the game. He did everything to win the game. So he didn't turn it over. He was good in key moments. He made some big runs at the right time, and, I looked at the Oakland Raiders as a team that was hot and was peaking, and I felt like this would be a big challenge for the New England Patriots, just like the game last week versus the Seattle Seahawks. And for them to pull this one out, this one was big. And, getting that win, it cements them as, AFC contenders. And, I'm very impressed with how Cam has just been so fluid with the offense and very comfortable in the schemes 3 weeks in a row. Not looking flustered, not looking frustrated, and look like he's having fun out there. And that's what it's supposed to be. That's what we expected from Cam, and I think it's rubbing off on his teammates. But I think the coolest thing about this game was that, it was the total team effort. I think defensively they played well. They shut down Derek Carr and the offense. So whatever they had over there, whatever they came to bring, it didn't work. So I think it was a balanced attack on both sides of the ball. They did what they needed to do, and they got away with a big win. And I think it'll be a confidence booster for them moving forward. But Cam was certainly the catalyst for this win.
I thought it was very impressive also, Mike. I think the thing is that we look how Cam is doing it, is that Cam is doing what is asked. There are some times that Cam is going to be relied on to rush for 3 touchdowns or maybe have almost 100 yards rushing. And then there will be games like Seattle where they're going to ask him to throw the ball 40-plus times, and he's going to need to throw for almost 400 yards in order to get them, keep them in a ball game and potentially win them a ball game. So that's good. But it also goes to show you, Skip, is that when Cam, being who he is, Cam had carte blanche to do whatever he wanted to do on the football field. Now he's playing within a structured scheme, knowing that the turnovers, because of what they are defensively, they're not what they were the first half of last year defensively. So he can ill afford to put them in harm's way. And I thought he's done a great job of that. He had the one horrible interception, and I think Coach Belichick is going to tell him, son, just throw it away. We'll punt the ball. We'll pin them down. We don't need to give teams short fields on our defense. And if we do that, we like our chances. But for him, and you, the one thing we know about New England, Mike, is that they're chameleons. They don't go into the game and says, okay, this is what we do. We're going to do it. You can't stop the run, Vegas Raiders. We're going to run up and down the field on you. You can't stop the ball through the air, the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to throw the ball up and down the field on you. Coach Belichick has always done that. Even when he had Brady for those 20 years, Skip, there have been times Brady would throw for 400. There have been times they would run for 250, 275. And that's what makes them so good. Coach Belichick knows if you go into a game and you say, this is what we do, this is what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, Coach Belichick says, I got an advantage of you because your unwillingness to change plays right into my hand. So I thought Cam was very impressive. He's doing a great job. He's not going to run it 15 times a game like he did in game one. He's not going to throw it 40-plus times like he did in game two. It's going to be a combination. Whatever Coach Belichick believes it takes to win, Cam is more than capable of doing it.
Hmm. So, just me, I thought Cam was far more entertaining after the game than he was during the game because the truth was they didn't need him to do anything yesterday. No. He was kind of a non-factor. Yeah, what did the great Shannon Sharp tell me in our last segment and tell me all day? It's about expectations.
Yep.
Well, Cam's bar got set running the football in week one way up there and then throwing the football way up there in Seattle, threw for almost 400 yards. Well, yesterday was kind of quiet because they didn't need him. And to your point, Belichick doesn't care. Check your ego at the door because he doesn't care about stats.
Yeah.
So, Michael,
he don't care about anything. You saw that sweatshirt he came on camera with last week, Skip?
And his hair and his, you know. He's old. He's Coach Subway, though, right?
Coach Belichick, Skip, he must be thought he was on a conference call. He doesn't realize on Zoom now they can actually see you. No conference call, you normally call in and talk to reporters.
Maybe
they can't see you.
But he'll cut the sleeves off your suit coat.
Right? He would.
That's what he did in the advertisement. So, Michael Vick, so I'm watching Cam yesterday, and he runs 9 times for a grand total of 27 yards, which is 3 yards a carry. Not exactly Vick in Atlanta kind of numbers. But the Cam I was seeing yesterday, there were a couple of times I thought he had a little bit of a crease, and he went low. You know, he just slid. Because I think Coach Belichick is telling him, you just can't last doing that.
No.
So right. I don't think he wants him to do what he did in week one. It was highly impressive. He just bulldozed the Dolphins and pretty much bulldozed the Seahawks until the last play of the game. Yeah. But the point is, And I think you would vouch for this, you really can't survive doing that. You need to let your running backs mostly run the football.
Yep.
And they had 250 yards rushing, obviously.
Yeah, I can guarantee you that Bill Belichick and Cam has had that conversation about putting his body in harm's way. Longevity in the NFL means you have to be able to sustain and you have to play smart. You know, I was a victim of that, you know, and, you know, Bill Belichick sits back and he watches Cam closely. He sees how much passion and emotion that he brings to the game. And, you know, at some point, you got to harness that. But with that passion and emotion, it can cause you to be reckless. So I think this is a time when Coach Belichick has stepped in and probably said, look, Cam, you just put a holster on it. Just calm it down a little bit. Run when you need to. Slide, protect yourself, and get down. And Cam, he understands firsthand that, you know, because of the last 2 years of what he went through, is because of the injuries that he sustained. And that was in part to putting his body in harm's way over the course of his, you know, 8-9-year career up until that point. So now is the time where you start to be conscious and cognitive of, you know, what you need to do to get through a 16-game season, because you're no good on the sideline. Cam Newton on the sideline for the New England Patriots is no good.
Skip, you mentioned expectations, and we look at what he did in week one against the Dolphins, where I think he ran for 3 touchdowns. We look at week two, what he did against the Seattle Seahawks, passing for almost 400 yards. But what was the expectations coming into the season? Cam had very high expectations. He believed he could get back to what to being the Cam Newton of old, the MVP Cam. But what was everybody else's expectations? Man, can Cam stay healthy? He hadn't looked good since the first 4 or 5 games of 2018.
Yep.
So the bar was low. So I think Cam doing what he's doing now, they're 2-1. They could easily be 3-0. I think Cam is orchestrating this offense exactly how Josh McDaniels wanted to, doing exactly what Coach Belichick wants him to do, is not put the ball in harm's way. Get what you can. Get down. Let's live to see another day. There are going to be times that we're going to ask you to put the ball into the air 30, 40 times and win ball games like that. And so I think as the season progresses, you'll see more. You'll see a better version of the Cam Newton that we're watching right now.
Yet I believe, you can go ahead, Michael.
No, I was going to say, I can guarantee when Cam goes in on Wednesdays or Tuesdays, whenever he check in, you know, you got a guy like Josh McDaniels who understands Cam and what he does best. And I know what I felt in Philly when I was going in to meet with Coach Reed and Marty Morningwig. You just be excited about the game plan. You be excited about the wink. And, you know, all that takes precedent as well in terms of winning and team morale. So I know Cam is experiencing that right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Skip.
So, to me, going forward, if they can win 10, 12 games like this, they'll do it this way.
Yeah.
This is Coach Belichick's way. Run for 250.
Yes.
Play great defense, lock down defense, take away their weapon. Darren Waller was just lost yesterday.
Right.
Like, nope, you can't have him. and you're lost.
But if you if you're smart, Skip, what are you going to do? Says, okay, no, we're not going to let you run the ball. We're going to put the ball in Cam Newton's hand. We're going to see how much trust you have actually in Cam, Josh McDaniels, Coach Belichick. We're going to find out because we refuse to let you run this football today. And if you're going to win this game, Cam Newton's going to have to throw for 3+. And if he can do that, I'm going to walk to the center of the field, shake your hand, say, good game. I'll see you down the road.
Maybe we'll see that game at Kansas City next time.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to score points against – Skip, you're going to have to score points against Kansas City now. You ain't winning no grinding out. That's not the way they play. They put too much pressure on you offensively. So your offense is going to have to put 25, 30 points on the board in order to keep pace with them.
Oh, yeah. The game's like – last week in Seattle where he had to throw from 300+. It's going to be about four or five more of those this season. Mm-hmm. So let's just get ready for it.
No mercy.
Sunday on Fox, it's a star-studded showdown in Big D as Baker Mayfield and the Browns take on Dak, Zeke, and the Cowboys. Or you may catch the Giants or the Rams. Check your local listings for the game in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app. So Tom Brady and the Buccaneers had no problem securing their second straight win yesterday against the Broncos. Brady was just shy of 300 passing yards and had 3 touchdowns in the 28-10 win on the road. And after the game, Brady still thinks there is room for improvement, saying, quote, by no means was this nearly close to what we're capable of. So, Shannon, I know this is always hard when it's against the Broncos, but please do give me an objective letter grade for Tom Brady.
Objective.
I gave him a C.
A C?
A C, Skip. Skip, the Broncos are bad. Huh. Skip, they had, at the start of the season, they had the youngest defense in the NFL at 25 years of age. They could lose both of their starting corners, so now they're starting 2 rookies. No Von Miller. So they generate no pass rush. They can get no coverage on the back end. And they're on their third-string quarterback. Let that sink in, Skip. They're on their third-string quarterback with 2 rookie corners. I mean, did I leave this game and say, man, Tom looked really good? I didn't leave this game thinking that, Skip. The second half, he only scored 3 points on a short drive, on a short field goal, 6 total first downs in the second half. So, Skip, look, they won the game, but I don't think anybody thought they were not going to win the ball game. And doing it against that team, there'll be other opportunities for Tom Brady to show that he is the Tom Brady of old. When they play Kansas City, when they play some of these upper top-tier teams, we'll see more about Tom Brady. But I didn't get anything from this game that I didn't already know. 28-10 against Broncos. I love them, but they're not very good, Skip. They're not very good.
Interesting. So what has happened to Tom Brady over his career when he visits that stadium? Nothing good. Very little good.
Yeah. So there's nothing remnants other than the stadium itself. Stop it, Skip. You ought to be ashamed.
Tom Brady was, going into yesterday, 4-7 in Denver. It's been his house of horrors. He just doesn't like throwing in the mile-high atmosphere.
Yeah.
He's often been wild high because it's hard to control your trajectory. It's hard to get used to, you know, because you lived it, right? So yesterday, he had Chris Godwin for a little while. Then he didn't have him because Chris Godwin, without contact, pulled his hamstring. I don't know what it was. It did not look good to me because he sort of limped off and limped right to the locker room. So that's the best receiver on that team. And the one he had the most early season rapport with was gone fairly quickly in that game. So Tom Brady threw for almost 300 yards, which is still pretty good considering he had no run game to speak of. And by the way, Leonard Fournette, who is so comfortable with Tom Brady early on that he can criticize him for holding the ball too long. I wonder if Tom criticized him back because he carried it 7 times for a grand total of 15 yards and he caught 2 balls for a grand total of 7 yards. Not very good, Leonard. You got to get better. And yet, Tom Brady made some big-time throws in this game. And what did I tell you the whole offseason? I said, you better watch Scotty Miller, didn't I? And you laughed at me. And again, I was watching Scotty Miller yesterday when it was 3rd and 8. Tom backed up at his 27-yard line. Can we see the play, see what this throw looks like? This is Tom Brady to, oh, it's little Scotty Miller. Is that a good throw? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, I don't know. Does that look like a home run?
Yeah.
Does it look like he threw it down the field? Huh, interesting. Rusher right in his face, and it's right on target. Way to go. That was 47 yards. And you gave him a C. I'm going to give him a B-plus for his effort yesterday because it was at Mile High, and again, it's a place he just stinks
at. Well, Skip, you know what? If they'd had Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, they'd had Tlaib and Chris Harris Jr., and had Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas and all those guys on the other side, and he does that, I would have gave him an A. Mm. But, Skip, for your third-string quarterback, that's what they're on in the Broncos. You're starting two rookie corners. You're talking about the guys that you just talked about in Dallas, mm-hmm. about they're just guys. Mm-hmm. And Russ, so, and you gave him a B?
B plus, yeah.
Wow. And
furthermore, everybody talked all week about how Rob Gronkowski is a shell of himself, right?
Yes.
And who had the most targets yesterday for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Gronk.
Oh, wait a second. It was this guy named Gronkowski. He had 7 balls thrown to him. That's the most. He caught 6 for 48. He even caught a 10-yard pass, a double-digit yard pass, if we could see that from Tom Brady. So does that count? Does that qualify?
Skip, oh, think about that, Skip. That's a flat route.
He was running.
Skip, that's a flat route. That ain't down the field. That's a flat route.
It up, and that kind of looked Gronkish to me.
Skip.
Didn't that look Gronkish?
Skip, that's a flat route.
So they went in with the game plan of, let's reestablish Rob Gronkowski.
Because he said, well, I came to block. In other words, what he's saying, I did not come here just to block. I came here to catch passes. Mm-hmm. I came to join Tom because we have a great relationship. Not in the running game, in the passing game, Skip. That's what he was saying. Oh, Gronk said, no, stop it. Mm. There's no tight end. That's a receiving tight end, and that's what Gronk is. Gronk, yes, he can block, but ain't no tight end. Oh, yeah, all I want to do is block. Mm. George Kittle can block, but George Kittle got $15 million because he can catch passes. Travis Kelsey makes money because he can catch passes. Mm. Zach Ertz, those guys, Waller, because they catch the ball. So if everybody listen, all Gronk wants to do is win, that sound good. Mm. But that's his way of saying, I didn't come out of retirement for a year just to block.
Yep. So Tom Brady said, watch this.
Yes.
Rob Gronkowski said, watch this. And here they go. And all of a sudden, I can't believe it. They are leading the NFC South right now. Can you believe it at 2-1?
Skip, 3 games. So we're not even at the quarter pole yet. And so you're already crowning the winner. We're not even at the quarter pole.
I mean, somebody predicted they're going to win the South. Somebody over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to crown them.
In the
words of Denny,
you're starting to look shakier and shakier.
In the words of Denny Green, rest your soul. If you want to crown them, crown them.
Yep.
But at the end of the year, they're going to be who we thought they were.
Really?
And guess what? And the Saints ain't going to let them off the hook.
8-8.
Don't y'all got to play Green Bay too? Mm-hmm. Don't y'all got to play old Aaron Rodgers?
At home.
It don't matter. Home, road, gotcha.
Mm.
Gotcha.
I told you, they had the worst opening day test imaginable. They got thrown to the Wolves in New Orleans.
Well,
no preseason.
Well, how good is New Orleans? Because they done caught 2 whales now.
Yep.
So they got thrown to the Wolves. So how good are they?
Well, no preseason games.
Mm-mm.
Very little practice.
No, but here's the thing, Skip. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Guess who else didn't have any preseason game? Mm-hmm. The other 31 teams. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They had no OTAs and no minicamp. Mm-hmm. So that was not unique to Tampa. That's not unique to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. All the other teams were up under that same umbrella.
Tom Brady doesn't look washed up to me.
I know Aaron Rodgers looked good. Did he look good? I just want to know one thing. Has he looked as good as Aaron Rodgers? A simple yes or a simple no?
Not yet. But he gets stronger as the year goes on.
No, he doesn't.
And Aaron Rodgers tends to fall off the cliff.
No, he doesn't. No. Coach Belichick said no. So let me ask you a question. Do you trust Pro Football Focus or do you trust Coach Belichick? Now, how many Super Bowls and how many AFC championship games have Pro Football Focus gotten to and won? And how many of a Coach Bill, greatest coach in sports history?
All I know is I got 5 cases of Diet Dew that Tampa Bay will have a better record than Coach Subway.
What's the same record?
Coach Subway.
What's the record right now? What's the record? I just want to know, what's the record right now?
2-1.
Okay.
2-1.
Okay.
And your schedule is going to get nothing but harder.
Y'all going to get harder, too?
No, we got this.
Y'all got Green Bay. Y'all got Kansas City, just like we do.
Yep. Here we go.
Coach Subway and his acting is just on point.
Yeah.
Really impressive from Coach Bill Belichick.
No mercy.
LeBron James is in his 17th NBA season and still strikes fear into his opponents. Paul Pierce said over the weekend that, quote, players today are scared of LeBron. My era is out of the league. We weren't afraid of LeBron, but these guys today, he strikes fear in these guys. I can see it. Huh, Shannon, does Pierce have a point?
Skip Pierce, Paul Pierce sounds ridiculous. Does Paul Pierce realize that when LeBron got into the league, he was 7 years older? Paul Pierce was 26 years of age. And the league has gotten younger. So while LeBron is 33, 34, 35, these guys are coming in, Skip, at 20, 21, 8, 19, 20, 21. Zion is what, 20 years of age? So LeBron James is 15 years older than LeBron, younger. Zion is 15 years younger than LeBron James. Paul Pierce, KG, even Kobe. Skip, let that sink in, Skip. Kobe came in 96 at 18. LeBron James came in 03. So he's 7 years older than LeBron. So, of course, these grown men, of course you're not going to be afraid of a kid. It bothers Paul Pierce, Skip, it bothers Paul Pierce that LeBron James in year 17 is still this good. Mm. It bothers him. They're not afraid. LeBron James is just good. It's just like, Skip, you hear guys say, when they lined up next to Kobe, say, man, I was nervous. I was scared. Mm. That's Kobe. Or when I lined up next to Michael Jordan, man, that's Michael Jordan. Skip, you know that's greatness. Mm. Paul Pierce, I wasn't afraid of him. He dropped 45, 15, and 5 in Game 6 in the Celtics and 31 and 12 in Game 7. You remember that closeout game, Skip?
Yep.
Against the Nets, they swept him. He dropped 49 on Paul Pierce's head. Now, Paul Pierce did outdo him in a Game 7. LeBron James had 45, but Pierce won. Here's Pierce starting lineup. KG, Ray Allen, Rondo, Kendrick Perkins. Mm. Here's LeBron James starting lineup. Delonte West, Ilgauskas, Ben Wallace, and Wally Szczerbiak.
It's pretty good, actually.
Oh, really? Hold on. LeBron James in 2010, 38, 8, and 7 against Game 3 against the Celtics. 2011, 35 and 14 in Game 4. 33 in Game 5 to close out versus Boston. Skip, stop this. Paul, you got to let this go because this does not come off as being analytical. This comes off as being jealous. It comes off as being petty. Is that you're looking for every excuse you possibly can to minimize what he's doing. It's Paul, you had an unbelievable career. Nobody in the history of the NBA has gotten more mileage out of an NBA title than Paul Pierce. But, bruh.
That's not right.
Name a guy that's gotten more mileage. More mileage out of one title.
Was it a fluke?
Skip, I'm not saying it's a fluke. But to try to minimize LeBron at every turn, because here he is in year 17, because all they talk about, yeah, he went to the final, but he lost. So now if he wins, and he wins a fourth title with his third team, and Lord forbid if he's the finals MVP, Skip, we might not ever see these guys again. What are they going to show their face? Oh, Kawhi's the best player. This player's the best player. And every year, it's LeBron, first team All-NBA. LeBron in the MVP. He finishes second again. Paul, this does not come off as being analytical. This does not come off as being you offering a critique of a man's game. Mm. It comes off as you being jealous. It comes off as you being petty.
Just for the record, Paul Pierce, when he was in Boston, was called the truth because he was the truth. And he was the best player on that very good team that won the championship in 2008. KG was really good.
But KG was defensive player of the year.
Okay, but this guy, when you needed a bucket, he got you a bucket. He was very difficult to stop. Ray Allen was one of the greatest clutch shooters ever. Mm-hmm. He made the greatest clutch shot ever. And Rondo was really good at what he did.
Oh, yeah. Playoff Rondo. Rondo.
But Paul Pierce was really, really good, a perennial all-star. So don't tell me he got mileage out of it. If he'd been the seventh
Skip,
man, you
Skip,
could say he got mileage.
Skip, did you just tell me everybody make the Hall of Fame in the NBA? Everybody goes to all-star games in the NBA?
In 2008, Paul Pierce in a Game 7 did out-duel LeBron James. And if you look closely, I dare anybody to call up the play-by-play down the stretch of that game and see what LeBron couldn't do down the stretch because he disappeared.
Let me ask you a question. If LeBron, we flip rosters. Mm-hmm. So now LeBron is with KG and Paul Pierce is with Ilgauskas and Delonte.
I'm out. LeBron came into the league with Chosen One tattooed across his back.
Sports Illustrated gave him that name.
Well, he put it on his
okay.
Own.
Okay. So
he adopted the powder toss pregame that some guy up in Chicago had made famous. LeBron announced, I'm the new 23, watch this.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. Since you talk about adopting stuff, mm-hmm. did Paul Pierce adopt the name The Truth? Does he not go by that?
What do you mean, adopted?
Does he call himself The Truth?
Is there a truth before Paul Pierce?
Oh, okay, hold on. No. The Chosen One. Mm. The Chosen One. Sports Illustrated gave him that. Kid 15 years of age. He's 17. He's the next big thing. He's it. Is it a lie?
Here's why Paul Pierce will not let this go. Because he saw up close and personal, because he mostly guarded LeBron James in 2010. This was the Eastern Conference semifinal. And LeBron put on a show in Game 3 at Boston on a Friday night. I thought it was the greatest game LeBron ever played. You think it was that Game 6, which came down.
Boston, yeah.
2012, I think it was. But in that series, LeBron put them ahead 2-1, and then he pulled his usual disappearing act. Games 4, 5, and 6, he shrank. And it got so bad that his owner eventually accused him of quitting in those 3 games. And it got so bad that a member of LeBron's inner circle told Stephen A. Smith at ESPN that LeBron had to be sedated for games 4, 5, and 6 because of a locker room issue. And I had to be sedated after that got reported because not buying that one. I'm sorry. But it was a big story.
Paul Pierce left the court in a wheelchair. Really, Skip? Are we trying to minimize the man? In that game that you're talking about, that you said LeBron melted down, he had 27, 19, and 10. Who would like to melt down like that? Mm.
Go look at the fourth quarter and tell me what happened.
Okay, but hold on. Let's look at the fourth quarter Saturday night. Okay, but you don't want to look at
that. This isn't about Paul Pierce being better than LeBron. It's about Paul seeing the vulnerability in LeBron under fire.
Skip, yeah. LeBron James got 645 or more points game against Paul Pierce. Mm-hmm. So was Paul Pierce not afraid? So why he keep doing it like this?
How do you explain what happened in games 4, 5, and 6?
Skip, you took one series.
Okay, let's take 2011 NBA Finals because, trust me,
that wasn't Paul Pierce. Let's talk about Paul Pierce.
But the point was, Jason Kidd was not afraid of LeBron. Jason Terry was not afraid of LeBron James. Tyson Chandler was not afraid of LeBron James, and obviously Dirk Nowitzki was not afraid of LeBron James.
So when he got swept, when Michael Jordan got swept, the Celtics weren't afraid of it.
We're talking about LeBron.
I'm not doing anything. I'm telling
you the facts.
What's the facts?
In 2011, we saw the all-time superstar meltdown.
Oh, my goodness.
The chosen one became
Did Kawhi melt down?
Why do we have to change the subject?
I'm just asking because you try to make it seem.
You can't defend it.
Because you make it seem.
And Paul Pierce knows what happened.
So LeBron James is.
These are the all-time superstar meltdowns.
James is the only great player that hasn't come through in a finals moment.
Like that. We've never seen that.
Yes or no? Is he the only one?
You're up 2-1. The chosen one is. He goes back to his hotel room and he starts making a list of I told you so.
Because you know what, Skip?
I'm at the top.
This is about you. Yeah. Make it about you.
So the only way you can stop me is to talk over me, right?
Go ahead. It's about you. Go ahead.
You got no comeback here. I've backed you into a corner once again. It's indefensible what's on this man's resume. It was the all-time superstar meltdown. He's making a list back in his hotel room, reportedly by ESPN. Put me at the top of the list. I'm going to tell him so, and then him and him and him. And 4, 5, and 6, he froze up. I never see anything like it before.
Is 2020 on his resume?
Interesting.
Is 2020 on his resume?
What's your answer to 2011?
Yeah, exactly. 2011.
What's your answer?
What's now?
I want to know what's
2020.
What happened?
Exactly.
What happened in 2010 and 2011?
The same thing that happened in 85 and 86.
That's why Paul Pierce is saying nobody was afraid of him back then because there was nothing to be afraid of.
Exactly. But he put Paul Pierce's butt out, made Paul Pierce leave Boston, made Paul Pierce leave, and Paul Pierce became a journeyman. So Paul Pierce wasn't afraid, but LeBron bashed his head every time.
So I think Paul Pierce knows there's one guy in the next series that will not be afraid of LeBron James.
Okay, and?
Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
Not afraid.
So Jimmy Butler did
That's the one guy today not
Jimmy
afraid.
Butler did something that Paul Pierce couldn't do. Mm. Take a team, carry a team. Minus Paul, minus KG. Minus Ray Allen. That's what Jimmy Butler did. Paul Pierce is jealous. There's no way around it. What about 2020? What about 2020?
Paul Pierce won a championship. What's he have to be jealous of?
LeBron James got three.
How many
three-time finals MVPs have there been?
He's lost six. He's 3-6.
So how many times did Paul Pierce get there? So Paul Pierce is so great. So all these guys weren't afraid of him. None of them. So how many times he keep Paul Pierce from getting to the NBA Finals? Paul Pierce wasn't afraid, but he couldn't go to the NBA Finals through the East. But how many times, Skip?
once he joined Dwayne and Chris Bosh and Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra,
Let me ask you a question.
You got it.
How many times did people mention Paul Pierce's name before KG and Ray Allen joined him?
Oh, a lot.
You
ought to go back. Look up what friend Bob Ryan, the ultimate basketball guru in Boston, go back and look what he used to write about Paul Pierce. He'd never seen anything quite like him. This is Paul Pierce solo. Go look it up.
What was he doing solo?
The truth.
What was he doing solo?
He was the truth.
How many times did he get to the Eastern Conference Finals without KG and Ray Allen? How many times did he get to the finals? My guy at 22. Paul Pierce was 26 when LeBron got to the league.
Yep.
At 22, my guy was taking the team to the finals.
And he got swept.
Your guy couldn't even get there. All I know is your guy at 22 was what, in his second year? My guy at 22 was taking the team to the finals. See, what you do, Skip, is that LeBron James loses, oh, he's weak. Everybody else loses, he's going against a historically great team. So I want to know, when it's all said and done, name the player that will be better that Michael Jordan beat in the finals than Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. That's what I want to know.
I don't really care because Michael Jordan went 6-0 in the finals with 6 MVPs, and you can't beat him.
And got swept.
It's over.
And got swept in the first round. All I know, this is what I know. Michael Jordan never got out of the first round until he got Scottie Pippen. You can say Scottie Pippen is nothing, but until he got him, he never got out of the first round.
Top 50 player.
He's something.
Paul Pierce, thank you for speaking the truth.
And guess what?
The truth.
And what did Draymond say? Draymond say, bruh, enjoy retirement. Let it go. You not going to get that what Kobe and Braun going to get. Let it go, truth. You had a great career. Let it go now.
Way to go.
You're 17.
We're done for now, guys.
Did Paul make it 17 years?
No mercy.